The information provided on this podcast does not and is not intended to constitute legal advice. Listeners should contact their attorney to obtain advice with respect to any particular legal matter.
Welcome to Pacifica Issues Podcast, our take on legal issues in the Pacifica community. We are the co-hosts. My name is Leo Malfosio.
And my name is Ruby Fanaika Fangao. Pacifica Issues Podcast welcomes monthly contributions. Donors will receive special mention in future episodes. We invite sponsors to contact us if they'd like to partner on our future episodes. We also invite listeners to visit our Facebook page, Pacifica Issues Podcast, and comment below each episode to continue the conversation. Feel free to share our episodes on your platforms and help us raise awareness on Pacifica issues. In our previous episodes, you heard Pacifica Issues Podcast interview Herman Wangai, West Papuan freedom fighter. Now you'll hear us connect the dots between West Papua, Pacifica issues, and the law. This is part one.
You know, we had a really good opportunity to hear from, you know, someone who's been there, has seen what was going on in West Papua and is still ongoing in West Papua. So that was a really great talk that Mr. Wangai gave to us. You know, this is, and we talked about this for so many times that, you know, this issue of West Papua, it brings to light what's been going on in the Pacific. And I know I always try to trace back and try to compare all the, you know, you think about all the different islands in the Pacific region. And these are different regions that have, you've got the colonizer country that have come into one nation and sort of impress their, you know, quote unquote, will into this country. This is just one example of that colonization of a country. And we're seeing it firsthand. And we're hearing it firsthand too from people that have experienced it. You know, this is no different. I know you and I had talked about it, and I thought we mentioned it when we went to FICA podcast. Mm-hmm. And, you know, kind of compared it to what happened in American Samoa. And, it, you know, it's no different. You've got the colonizing country who goes in there. And if you think about American Samoa, you think about all the, you know, what had happened in the past with the island of Samoa. And many people don't know that the island of Samoa used to be one nation, right? And it just so happens then when, you know, the three countries of, you know, the superpowers back then, you got the Germans and you have the U.S. and you have the British. And they go in there with the intention of, you know, making these islands their very own and sort of impress their quote unquote way of life in terms of how things should be done. And it's the same thing that's going on in West Papua. American Samoa, you've got, and then, you know, that's how the two Samoan islands were divided. And so when they were divided, you look at American Samoa, you know, became under the U.S. and then Western Samoa became part of Germany at first. And then it was sort of transitioned over to New Zealand under the government of New Zealand. You look at West Papua too. So it was colonized by the Dutch back in the 1940s. Back in 1898. So it was kind of like around the same time when
Samoa and West Papua, they were in the superpowers were in the Pacific and they were colonizing us. Yep. They were mining us.
Yep. So all these superpowers were in the Pacific region around the same time. West Papua was 1898. You look at American Samoa, the island of Samoa, it was around the same time too. It was around the same time. And of course it was under West Papua was colonized by the Dutch, and then it was transferred over to, and they were sort of controlling through the Indonesian government. You look at Western Samoa, what had happened was So Germany had left to the war, and then New Zealand came in and sort of colonized Western Samoa. And so you could sort of see the resemblance of that. But Western Samoa was really successful in their attempt to fight for independence from New Zealand. And I could see the same thing of what's going on in West Papua too. You've got, there's a lot of, I think there was a lot of injuries that happened back then where some of the leaders in Western Samoa, the movement back then, I think it started by, I forget the leader's name, but he had ended up dying from this. Tupua Tamasese was his name. Mm-hmm. So he died because of this movement. And it was, I'm sure a lot of Samoans know about this. It's called the Mau movement. Yeah. And so you look at West Papua too, they have their own movement too. And, you know, we have this leader who's part of the leading coalition within the Western Papua people,
Herman.
So we were fortunate to have him and sort of talk about what's going on over there. You know, I see no difference. And, you know, there's an interest in there's an economic interest. There's always an economic interest.
Oh, that was a big one. And it's something that I don't think is even discussed that much in the Free West Papua movement. They're focusing a lot, at least the publicity is focusing a lot on the genocide and the sovereignty. But I guess a legal aspect, that economic interest is very interesting. Very interesting because it explains why the Indonesian government is aggressively trying to eradicate the West Papuan / Pacific people. These are Pacific people on Pacific territory. They're trying to erase these people so that they can enjoy the minerals, the rich minerals of the gold mine and the oil. I had no idea there was oil there as well, but I'm not surprised. I mean, if West Papuans did get their sovereignty, perhaps this is also another reason why other nations cannot assist or cannot recognize. If West Papua became independent, they would become a superpower. Does anyone want to see a Pacific superpower outside of Pacific people? Because if they have the largest gold mine in the world, that automatically makes them a big player. Maybe that's not something that on the greater scale, people are interested in including, and that's worth discussing. But again, as you mentioned, this is where we come in, and other Pacific scholars, specifically Pacific Legal Minds, Pacifica Legal Minds, where we come and we do the analysis, because with that economic interest, you can drive a strong case of why these poor West Papuans are being murdered every day and why their sovereignty is not being recognized. A number of countries have an economic interest in subjugating these people and subjugating or preventing ownership of this land.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's kind of interesting how, none of the ads on Facebook, I mean, even on social media too, it really focuses or key in on the main ingredients of why there is such a conflict in West Papua. Of course, the media is going to play around with it. And, there's this conflict. There's always a conflict, and behind it is a real issue, right? And so it's always that economic issue. Even with Samoa, you look at Samoa, I mean,
you bet there's economic interest in American Samoa.
Yeah, I mean, what their interest in Samoa was primarily to, American Samoa was mainly to have a harbor for the U.S. That's the U.S. was only interested in the harbor.
I see.
And then Western Samoa, of course, was the, I think back then it was called a copra, where it's a coconut, something about coconut where you dry up and then use it to sort of manufacture it to become oil. And so that was like the main export in Samoa back then. But the Germans were controlling that. So there's always that economic issue behind it. And here's the thing that I've always noticed about these countries that I've you know, that's been colonized by, you know, superpowers, is there's this thinking that, you know, when someone comes in, that these people are not developed enough, they're not intelligent enough to sort of control their own resources. And so I think it's best to, they resort to the resources that's in place, hence their, you know, the systems and economic systems that's, you know, that these colonizers bring into these countries. And this is how it's supposed to be. This is how you, you know, there's always that, you know,
that propaganda,
that, you know, that this is how you do it, is essentially what it is. It's like, you know, for, you put it in layman's terms, you say, for instance, someone comes in and they says, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. You know why? Because I know more than you. And I'm, you know, it's sort of that mentality that's been brought into these small nations.
Yeah, imperialist.
It's this thinking that, you know, they're not developed enough. They're not intelligent enough to run their own government. I think
they especially need us to believe that. So they, not only is that stated and it's printed and driven into our brains, but they also need us to believe, as Herman described earlier, brainwashing. They need us to believe that we are not capable of managing such great resources.
Right. I mean, yeah, he hit it on the point. When he talked about that, I was like, whoa, this is really what's going on. And, you know, it's kind of interesting how he mentioned a lot of things. And this is, you know, some of the stuff that we read on, you know, with the articles, with, you know, what's published on social media. And you're wondering, you know, I wonder if this is even true. And, you know, you have Herman that came in and he said, yeah, that's absolutely true. Because, you know, there's, I think he said something about his uncle that was shot.
Yes.
Right next to him. And so you think about the trauma that he went through, and I think the trauma that the people of West Papua went through, and it's still ongoing. You know, this is interesting, and I think you and I had talked about it. There's a lot of players in place over here. It's
that's right.
Yeah,
And as you mentioned, there are things we have in common. Like, this is a Pacific territory, West Papua. Although it's not recognized by Indonesia, the occupying nation over the West Papuans. However, similar to, as you described earlier, with sovereignty, they have zero sovereignty. So they don't have political power to govern themselves or to govern their own Pacific territory. But American Samoa, we do have quasi-sovereignty, and we are retaining our land titles. And unlike West Papua, who is being subjugated by the Indonesian government and by Indonesian culture, American Samoa, from my understanding, is not being subjugated. You know, we still have some freedoms that we're enjoying, and we're still retaining our culture. If anything, the previous talk on birthright citizenship was about preserving our culture, which implicates that we still possess it, we still practice it. Mm-hmm. What I liked about Herman's explanation about Indonesia trying to brainwash the West Papuan indigenous people is that they were trying to brainwash them to give up their Pacific identity, their indigenous identity, their West Papuan Melanesian identity. And as me and you discussed, when you take the culture away from us Pacific people, it's a robbery, because unlike other cultures, we see this as an extension of our ancestry. We proudly take on that responsibility to fulfill our obligations to our people and to the promises of our fathers and forefathers. So I love that he, you know, kind of reinforce that Pacific value for culture, that it's something we value as much as land. We value mm-hmm. culture that possesses language. We value that as much as land and as much as life and liberty.
Yeah. I also think that I thought it was interesting that how he mentioned, you know, Congressman Denny Falemawenga. And I really wanted to put that out there, because he really put up a fight with, in terms of, you know, creating awareness of what's going on in West Papua. So, you know, I
think
he was, it's really important because you know, now you have people that are talking, you know, the leaders of this movement went to the U.S. Congress, and I think they were invited by any to come and speak on this issue. And then from then on, it birthed, you know, several like laws right after, I think it was 2001. So 2005 is when Annie passed that law where, and I think we talked about it, you know, the Secretary of State, where it's urging the Secretary of State to kind of look at this act of the so-called act of free choice, right? To, you know, what really happened? Did they, this referendum that they're talking about, that, you know, was it done properly, essentially?
No, that's really scary. It's such an ironic name, the act of free choice, which the indigenous people of West Papua call the act of no choice. It was such a fraudulent sleight of hand, the giving hope, like, okay, here's this vote that's going to happen, but we will, and although it's a requirement for one man and one vote, we will disproportionately collect, watering down the vote and incorrectly collect a small amount of signatures, and then expect you to be tricked into believing that's representative of the majority or of the whole. One man, one vote means whole, means each person should have a vote. And so it probably goes back to as what you were explaining, that there's this imperialist idea that we don't know better. There's this imperialist idea that Pacific people, you can fool us. And this was carried out in that act of no choice. And it also sounds like that's what's happening every time they are going to the UN. There's this disregard for our interests, our Pacific interests in our own Pacific territory.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he even talked about it. And even Annie had mentioned it too. You know, you have to put the United Nations at fault too, you know, for just pretending that this so-called plebiscite was legitimate. But it wasn't, you know, it was done improperly. And he's really urging the United Nations to really give the people of West Papua the option to have a real referendum. And I think that's what's really needing to happen, according to the people of West Papua. I don't, you know, I feel like this is going to be an ongoing issue, and it's going to take a lot to, and I think you and I have mentioned it too. This is a bigger issue than what it, you know, it really is advertised, so to speak, on social media.
That's right. Yeah, like as you mentioned, it hasn't been on the United Nations agenda since 1969.
No,
and yet
it
they
hasn't.
Show up annually. They show the West Papuans with their supporters, including some Pacific nations, are showing up annually. And I'm actually shocked that it can be continued to be ignored. It's shocking that it can be, like, for instance, you know, you can get in line to be heard. I think people have some kind of you know, idea of what fairness looks like, but unfairly they are showing up, getting in line for decades and requesting to be part of the United Nations agenda, and yet they are not being included in this talk. And as Herman explained, Herman Wangai, he explained that this is an international topic. Where else would he go for recognition? He can't go to the United States to be heard on the specific issue, mm-hmm. and he can't go to the Europe and be heard on the specific issue. It has to be the United Nations, and unfairly, he's not being heard. It's very shocking.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm just honored to, I was really honored to have, I didn't think he was going to be on the show to talk about what was going on over there.
I know, yeah, because he's busy. So busy. Exactly. I thought he was going to be, I thought the interview actually would not happen because he's so busy.
Yeah, but he created time for us, and we're thankful for that. I you know, I'm so thankful that he was able to come on. And I know he's got more to do. This is going to be an ongoing issue, and I feel like it's going to be going on. Yes. He's done what he needs to do.
Yes, I'm proud of him, and I agree with you. It was an honor to talk to him. It was also an honor to hear his dialect. It was to hear his accent in that, you know, we are so far away from West Papua territory. So to hear, you know, a bit of life from that area was a real privilege. I also just wanted to remind our listeners some of the things he mentioned, which I think will be really helpful to this Free West Papua cause. For instance, if you would like to donate money to help Herman Wangai or help West Papua, you can go to WPHumanRightsCenter.org. That's WPHumanRightsCenter.org. And within that website, you can get information. And also in that website, there's a GoFundMe page where your money can go to a good cause. And then secondly, he mentioned what you can do as an individual. You can write a letter specifically to American listeners. To American listeners, you can write a letter and contact your U.S. representative about this human rights issue in West Papua.
Yeah. I mean, he mentioned some good points over there. Those are, you know, he pretty much touched on ways in which the public could help, ways in which many people could help. I think he's done a lot. And, you know, I hope people were listening into our show and sort of, you know, capture what he was saying. You know, I feel for what he's doing. And I think isn't he staying at, he's in Virginia, right? He lives in Virginia.
I know that he lives in that area. I mean, that's a good point. He's here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
he's an exile. I mean, he's far away from his family. He's not here with his family. His family is actually still there suffering.
So he was exiled, right?
Exile. He's an exile. He's a Pacific exiled person from West Papua.
See, you know, it's funny because you mentioned that. The only time that I've heard of that term exiled was, you know, again, what happened in Samoa, where there's a lot of leaders were exiled from Samoa.
In the Mau movement.
And I think one of the leaders was Naumala Ululawaki. He was exiled with his family. And I think they went to Guam. And what's interesting is that there's some people in Guam that claim history to Samoa. And I think it's probably part of the...
Interesting. That's right.
The Lawaki family that went over there from Samoa. There's some Guamanians. If you talk to some of the Guamanians, they say that there were some Samoans that have been there. It's probably the Samoans that have exiled when all these wars that were going on in Samoa. And then, you know, when the Germany came in, they wanted... You know, the history between what happened was, you know, they wanted one to be they sided with Malekua, and there was another leader, was Makaafa, right? And then, so Makaafa was another one that was exiled. Makaafa was another one that left Samoa, and I think he went to Guam too. And they favored Malekua back then. Malekua was, he was a teenager back then. He was only 18 when they made him the king of Samoa.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and I think specifically because he sided with what, you know, the Germans had wanted for Samoa. So it's kind of an interesting story. And if you look at all these stories all together, you look at the situation with Guam, you look at the situation that happened in Samoa, you look at the situation that's going on with West Papua, you look at, you know, even in Hawaii too. It's kind of a similar situation in all these islands.
Yes. And even Fiji. I don't know what's happening now in Fiji, but I know that.
Thank you for listening. Please join us for our next episode on Pacifica Issues Podcast.